pilot they did before they did the official 1990s X-Men animated cartoon. There was like that one episode called The Pride of the X-Men, which is
the one where
it was it was animated a lot like G.I. Joe and Transformers had been.
Yes. That's the one where Morph dies, or is that the first episode of the actual series?
That's the first episode of the actual series that happens. Or the first one or two episodes. But this one was like Kitty Pryde was the main character, and it was called Pride of the X-Men. And she was like joining, but then she was like kind of scared of Nightcrawler. And then X-Men came and Magneto came and kidnapped Professor X and took him to his asteroid hideout. And they had to like go and rescue him. And then Nightcrawler makes a decision that basically sacrifices himself to save everybody else. But then he doesn't wind up dying. And Kitty's like, oh, I should have trusted that you were like a cool guy.
Instead of a demon monster.
Yes.
The German accent. Gay in the house.
Well, I had quoted the Blob, like, you know, because that was the when they made that big like arcade game, the beat 'em up scroller,
mm-hmm. Side scroller. People could play.
Yeah, actually, they had a version that six people could play, that was what it was based on, like the animation from that particular show. So like all the characters looked like they did in that particular one pilot. So when the Blob comes out and you fight him, he's like, "This is where you stop. Nothing moves the Blob." Which I know was in the show and I think was in the game, but I think I referenced that earlier with Jane and she had no idea what I was talking about, of course.
I don't recall that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it didn't happen. that totally could have happened. I remember playing that game and Rampage at the Mr. Gaddy's on Essen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's set up. And dinosaurs would be on.
I'm the baby.
Yeah, like I was on Wednesdays. When my dad had meetings. My mom was like, fuck it, let's go get pizza. And we did, and it was great.
Excellent.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so we didn't meet up last week because... Oh, James.
Yes, Nick.
Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
James.
Yeah, Nick.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore. You're listening to Dork episode. I think this is 171. Hi.
Hey, we'll go with that.
Sorry we weren't here last week because, we both kind of had shitty days and we're like, fuck it. Like, we were going to meet up and then, like, shit happened and, like, we were both exhausted and wanted to kill things. Like, I know with me, it was particularly work. I got buried by all this bullshit that I had to... It was stuff that I was doing for like the third time because someone else was making mistakes on it and forcing me to make it more and more complicated. And the client did something that made it... Basically, I was just like, you know what? Fuck the world. I'm about to set everything on fire and I don't care. And James is like, yeah, me too. Except my work thing is children. So perhaps we should just take a mental health day. I was like, fine, let's do that. And we did.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And we did, and I ate Thai food, and scored 160 points on trivia at the Rusty Nail, and that was like the highest that anybody ever scored before. That was a good evening.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went the other way, where I worked all weekend, and then Sunday afternoon, I walked outside to open the gate so Carol could drive her car in. I close the gate. We walk back inside. And Basil, a little French bulldog, comes trotting up to me like nothing's going on. But in fact, the left side of his head was bloody and his eyeball was out.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's significant.
I was like, holy shit, dude. What the fuck? And Carol looked at me. She's like, what happened? I'm like, hold on. She's like, what do we do? I was like, we're going to go to the vet hospital right now. So I picked him up and we hopped in her car. She was driving her tiny little car and she had so much shit in the back that I couldn't move the passenger seat back. So I had to cram my big ass into the little bitty seat of her Mini. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so she drove to what I thought was an emergency pet hospital on Jefferson. As it turns out, it's an urgent care, 24-hour emergency care, right in front of an animal hospital sign.
Hmm.
So I pulled up. I was like, help. And lady answers the door and she's like, oh, hi. I'm like, yes. Hi. Hello. Look, his eyeball's out. She's like, oh, we're emergency care. And I'm like, yeah, great. Open the door. Emergency care. Eyeball. She's like, no. We're like an after hours clinic. I'm like, yes, great. It's after hours. Open the door. And she's like, there's the animal hospital. I'm like, yes, I see it. There's an animal hospital right there. Oh, no. So we went to the other place and they were like, yeah, man, that's bad. It's like, basically, they were like, we can stabilize him. He's not bleeding anymore. So that's good. But we can't do eye surgery. You need to see a veterinary ophthalmologist, and they have one at LSU. So the next day, I call LSU, and they're like, oh, yeah, the ophthalmology clinic's closed all week. I was like, what? You fucking serious? So they gave me a guy who is in Mandeville. So we drove an hour with the dog of ours that hates car rides the most. So by the time we got there, he was absolutely spazzed out. And they sewed his eye up. And they sewed his other eye a little bit. Because apparently the orbitals in the French Bulldog's head are very shallow. And so if they get swatted nice and hard, their eyeballs can pop out. And so we were like, yeah, well, I guess go ahead and cinch that other one up while you're there.
Yeah.
So now he looks like some cyberpunk shit because his left eye is all sewn up and he's got these like little like plastic tubes over it, like a little bitty piece of pipe, I guess, to let it drain. A little plastic stent on the outside of the eye.
Yeah.
On one eye, and then the other eye is a little squinty and he's all crusted up and he's got his cone on. And he doesn't seem to notice anything's going on, but man, it is heartbreaking. Like every time he walks up, he's like, hey, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Your face, man.
But he's a like, dog, so it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, they don't care. So yeah, that was the past couple days. And man, you know, you would think that because dog eyes are smaller, that wouldn't be all that big a chore. But no. Those guys are really proud. I paid so much to get that done that when they remove the sutures, his eyes can't shoot lasers. I'm going back with a bat, and I'm just wrecking shit.
So this is more expensive than coloring Carol's hair?
Yes. It was $2,000.
Holy shit.
Right?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, the nurse was like, yeah, okay, so here's what it'll run. And I was like, fuck you in the face? What? She's like, this is it itemized. And when your dog is there with his eyeball out, you know, they kind of have you over a barrel.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that's what it's going to cost to put the eyeball back in. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So needless to say, I had a cheeseburger yesterday. I needed a little quiet time.
Yeah.
Kind of sit out and eat a cheeseburger quietly and just think about things. I did file my taxes today.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I'm getting a refund, but it's not going to pay for dog eyeballs. Uh-huh. And who knows when I'll get it. I just like to do it early because that helps you avoid fraud to some extent.
Yeah. Also, did you know that before Shakespeare, we didn't put the word I and bald together?
It's just I?
Yeah, like you would talk about eyes. You know, oh, there's eyes, I. But we didn't, like, apparently Shakespeare was the first one to say eyeballs. Eyeballs.
He truly was a genius.
Great, yes. At least that's what the Trivial Pursuits card was that we were reading. The other day we went to the cinema to see I, Tanya on, I guess it was Friday night maybe.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, it was sold out at 7:00. So we bought tickets to the 9:40 show. and like went out and we wound up at this bar called Pals in New Orleans where they have like board games, but it was, we didn't want to get into like a whole game in case like we weren't able to finish it. So we just, we had, they had like a stack of Trivial Pursuit cards and we like were asking each other questions because, you know, that's what me and my hot brain Jane like to do and stuff. So, but yeah, but then we wound up seeing I, Tonya and it was good. It was better than I expected. Although I don't, I mean, I expected it to be pretty good, but it was actually pretty good, like more than pretty good. Like the idea of someone like Tonya Harding, when you have like these preconceived notions of what she is and what she has been, and you know, that kind of softens over the years. It's like, okay, well, you know, she's probably a human with like, you know, feelings and stuff. And seeing a movie like this from not just her perspective, but like her ex-husband's perspective, who was like not actually the person who did the deed, but like was more involved with capping Nancy Kerrigan than Tonya was. Apparently Tonya didn't know about it until after the fact, right? But you get the idea of like, you know, like the suffering and abuse she suffered up to and including the whole Nancy Kerrigan thing. And Sebastian Stan as Jeff Galuli did a really good job as well. I'm surprised he wasn't nominated for anything.
Galuli.
Yes. Right, and actually, you know, Jane, you know, went to go see Civil War and Winter Soldier with me, and she didn't realize that that was the same guy that played Bucky.
Galuli.
Is it a Galuli?
Galuli. Yeah,
you're making a poopy.
Galuli. Yeah, they, publicist quit. Tonya Harding's did.
When?
Like recently.
Just now. Oh, I didn't realize. See, I didn't realize she would still have a publicist at this point.
Well, she does like reality TV stuff. Like she's one of the talking heads on that those real video things.
Oh, like the VH1 things where they show like, this is a clip from something that happened and then like, here's some celebrities commenting on it.
Yes, those kind of things she pops up on. And world's craziest videos, those things.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And So I guess you kind of need a publicist because every now and then you get, but like for this thing, for the movie, you know, it's about her. So you'd think, you know.
Yeah, I guess you would need one if they're making a movie about you, I guess.
Yeah, she's doing press tours and stuff.
Yeah.
And her publicist quit because she was like, I don't want to talk to reporters that want to ask about my past. So if anybody asks about my past, I want them to get like fined.
Her publicist
said, I quit because what?
Yeah, that's a bit of a challenge.
We're not going to talk about this movie all about you and the figure skating thing.
Which is about things that happened, you know,
in the past. Just so I can go, no, I will only allow questions in regard to her appearances on World's Craziest Videos. Also, her new handbag line.
I'm surprised she didn't have a perfume.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah.
It's like Ice Queen or something.
Or probably Stank.
Stank. By Tonya Harding. What did you expect? It's Stank. She looked like Stank.
She's such a stank.
So much stank. Blah. So yeah, that happened with Tonya Harding.
I am so mad at myself about... So I told you about the Learned League, the daily trivia thing that I participate in.
Uh-huh.
So one of the questions, and... You may get it. I don't know. You're kind of Generation X. You're only a few years younger than me.
Okay.
Would you be? Yeah.
I am younger than you.
Yes. Do you consider yourself part of Generation X?
I'm what's called a... I'm Gen X. But there's a specific term for it where it's like an in-between X and Y.
Is it chromosome? Generation chromosome?
I don't remember what the fuck it is. It's just stupid. I'm just like, yeah, okay, I know when I was born, motherfucker. Like, you don't have to put a label on the shit. Nobody's coming up and asking me, except now James did.
Well, I'm very certain I'm Generation X. As evidenced by this league of questions, or, you know, that's like 12 days long, all about Generation X pop culture. And I've been like knocking the shit out of it. I had two perfect days and missed like a maximum of two. I mean, I missed one and two. So I've been doing pretty good. But today there was a question that goes, actually, Kelly Kiki, best known as the drummer of what group, has a sister named Christy, but bandmate Jack Blades misunderstood him, and the rest is history.
So, Sister Christian?
Yeah, Sister Christian, which is by what group?
I want to say Whitesnake, but I don't think that's right.
It's not.
And you know that you're the only one to say.
Okay. It's not the one that Sebastian Bach's on, right?
No, not Skid Row. Put your motor in.
Yeah, your motor in.
Motor in.
What's your price for flight?
And find Night Ranger.
Yes, Night Ranger.
Flight Ranger. No.
But see, this is why you don't answer these things while you're talking to somebody else. Because I think Jane came in and we were talking about stuff, and I would type my answer, and then I like hit submit, and I was like, fuck. I put the word Christian when I very much know they were asking for the name of the goddamn group.
Dude, I got one on you. I was bartending one of the theater shows, and the girl who was house managing, basically helping people with tickets and stuff like that, like, basically, we're busy before the show, and then an intermission, and then that's kind of it. So for the whole first act, we're just kind of hanging out. And she was doing this trivia thing, which is like a live trivia thing where...
Is it the HQ trivia thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she's doing that, right? She's like, hey, Nick, you can help me with this. And I was like, all right. So first question was like, what's in a PB&J? It's peanut butter and what?
Yeah. The first question is always like very, very straightforward.
It was like jelly, meatloaf, corn, and horseradish.
Yeah.
And not everybody got jelly.
No, usually there's like 5% they get even the obvious ones wrong. Or what one would think would be obvious, but you know.
So the second question pops up and it's like, which one of these sports or which one of these activities has a perfect score of 300?
Ah.
Or a score of 300 as the highest score. And it was bowling, darts, golf, and like croquet.
Yeah. I think most of the time there's only three options because you only get 10 seconds. So they can't give you too much of a multiple choice.
Well, I looked at it and I was like, oh, darts. Right? Right? And so she hits darts. And I'm like, no, wait, it's bowling. Like, because you can only hit one. You can't change
your answer. Once you can't change your answer.
I was like, oh, darts. Because darts is 100, right?
Or is it? I mean, I think there's a version of it that's like 100 maybe, and then there's another version that's like 273 or something.
Yeah.
Or 270.
That's what I was thinking. When I saw darts, I was like, oh, yeah, I just played darts a couple weeks ago, and I remember the scoring's kind of weird. It's higher than you think, and you're counting down, and you got to – and as I'm thinking this, she hits darts, and I'm like, wait, that's wrong. It's obviously bowling because it's bowling. Everybody knows it's bowling.
It's bowling.
And she's like, God – damn it. I was like, all right, well, let's be honest right here. You weren't going to make it past the fourth question anyway. So I just pulled that Band-Aid off real quick. You're welcome. And you can blame me.
Yeah, I've played that before, but like, I don't like the way I feel when I'm playing it. So I stopped.
What do you mean?
Well, no, because I like get antsy and, you know, it's like a 10-second timer. And you're like, oh, is it right? Is it right? Is it right? I don't know. And then like, I realize I'm also playing for... Like, since it's become more popular, and they haven't increased the prizes most days by much. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like a million people playing for a $2,000 prize. So, however many people get all 12 answers, they get to share in the prize. So, like, one day, people had won, like, $4.33. So, I'm like, is this level of anxiety, like, enough? I mean, is it, like, is that enough to justify this level of anxiety?
It is not.
It is not. I mean, it just
when I anxious about it.
Although, like, you know, there was one day when it was like $1,500 or $1,200. it was $12,000. It was $12,000, and only two people won.
That's
so they each got like six out. But that was when it was like, you know, only like 300,000 people were playing. So this is before Christmas. But it's gotten like way more popular, and the prize has gone from like the standard prize has gone from $1,500 to $2,000, and I'm like, yeah, it's not really worth it. So, in most days, I'm like, if I were like just sitting alone at home alone, I might do it. But usually now, when it starts, it's either at 2 p.m. or 8 p.m., and I tend to be in either working or in social situations, and it's not worth enough to like pry myself away from hanging out with people to like do whatever this is. So,
see, my peak trivia playing days were when I was bartending.
Oh yeah.
And all the bars had the Indian trivia set up, which I don't know if it's still a thing. I would think now you can just do it on your phone or whatever. But they had Indian trivia where you get the little game board, you know.
I'm not familiar with this.
Indian trivia?
NTN. Yes. Yeah. I thought you said Indian, like from the continent of India or the country of India. I mean,
no, NTN, National Trivia Network.
Now I understand. Yeah. Okay, we're good.
So I would play this when I was bartending at Bennigan's, and I would take one of the handsets and I keep it back behind the bar so I could play. And we would get like busy, like a Friday night, and everybody wants to play. And they'd be like, oh, there aren't any more handsets. I'd be like, nope, there are no more handsets.
Oh.
And I would own motherfuckers. I had like three pluses next to my name, and they were all like the whatever. It was like crazy. Because I played all during, like I would play every day when I was bartending, all day long. And then when I bartended at Buffalo Wild Wings, they had it too. And so I logged back in and I was just like, blam. So I just always had it up. Owned it.
Yeah.
But now I don't know what it is anymore. I don't remember my login information or, and I don't know anywhere that still does it. So who gives a shit?
That's horse shit.
Yeah. Nowadays, like I've gotten invited out to do trivia stuff, but I don't like the bar trivia setup where it's like, here's the question. I'm going to ask everybody now, write in your answers and put that like, come on, let's go. If we could speed this up, we could do like three or four games of trivia. And now we're just doing one and it's taking way too long and everybody's trying to order food. What the fuck?
Yeah, to each his own. That's the way it was when I hosted it, but we could go pretty quick with it. The way I play with my friends at Rusty Nail now, it's they're each round, like they give us a question for each round. So you get like six questions at a time, essentially. But, you know, and also, you know, I like winning prizes too. We drink a lot of free beer.
Well, that's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll play for beer.
Yeah, and it's also like the social aspect of it. You know, like there's like these six people that I hang out with, well, including me, so five other people that are like my trivia team. And some of them, that's when I see them. It's the trivia guy, you know. Although another part of the group is also like strategy board game playing team. So, but yeah, we're all friends. It's cool.
Yeah, Carol and I went out for drinks with some people a little while back, which is, I guess, 2 weekends ago, which was nice. Like, we went to a bar and got drinks. Went to Hayride Scandal, which is a full-on cocktail bar. Like, one of those where, like, we have beer, but, you know, we do these things.
Yeah.
And so I got a cocktail for the first time in a long time. I let somebody else mix me a drink.
Oh,
they
yeah?
They mix them good.
Yeah.
They better. They're, like, 10 bucks a pop. Well, I was like, this better be nice.
High praise indeed.
Yeah, well, I was happy with it. But they also do a thing there where you can kind of cut through the bullshit. Because it was good, but I don't like, I got a sidecar and it's on this little like cordial glass. And yeah, I'm just like, you know what? I just, yeah, no, that's enough. They do a thing where they have basically Boilermaker setups where you get a beer and a shot and they're kind of paired together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I got one that was a pale ale paired with a shot of chartreuse. Which is fantastic stuff, and nobody ever has it. So I was like, yeah, give me that. And then the second one, I think, was it was another weird one, the weird liqueur. Can't remember what the fuck it was. Oh, I think it was one. It was called the Amsterdam to Tokyo, and it was a beer from Amsterdam and a shot of Santori whiskey, which I'm a fan of.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
But yeah, I liked it. They had like the bottom end was the like a Bud Light and a shot of Jameson. It was like $5, and then went all the way up to like Fancy Pants. It was like $13. But still, that's the way I'd prefer to do it. Like, I don't want to, you know, I appreciate that you're making these craft cocktails, and they're really nice. And I tried a few people's drinks. They were very good. Carol got an Aviation, which up until a few years ago, you couldn't get here because the Creme de Violette was illegal in the United States.
Oh.
It was like a trade thing. Yeah, you still have to go to Canada to get it.
Oh.
If you Canada. So desired. But now that they get it here, it's all over the place. And it's delicious. If you ever want to wow your party guests, James, you pick a bottle of that stuff. Mix anything into it. And they'll be like, wow, it tastes like violets. And you're like, yeah. That's what it is, motherfucker.
Who knows what violets taste like?
It tastes like what they smell like.
Oh, they taste blue.
Yeah, or violet. It tastes purple, but not like the way that NyQuil tastes like purple. Or not, yeah. Not NyQuil, like Robitussin. Like, oh God, purple is gross.
Why are violets blue if they're violet? That's weird. Anyhow, I'm fine.
My African violets are purple.
Okay, well, that'll make the little poetry a little bit longer.
Roses are red, African violets are purple. You could probably grab T'Challa by his nurples. I guess you kind of see him on the suit. And he's topless in a lot of those promos.
Yes.
I have no shirt on. Well, he's king, right? Man, put a shirt on. Somebody buy that man a shirt.
I have all the shirts of my nation.
Yeah, dude, it's Wakanda. Not fucking Ethiopia. Let's, you know, slap on a little something for the guests. There are cameras around, damn it. No. Look at me. I have been on a ketosis diet for weeks now. I have 3% body fat. Also, it is really hard to talk like this with a shirt on. It makes me feel regal. Look at Lion King. No one wears shirts.
No one is human.
And I am a panther.
Ah!
Go fuck yourself. Also, I am king. Take his shirt.
Bagheera!
Peace out. Take his shirt. That's India, fool. That's a different Black Panther.
It's still a Black Panther.
He is, but he like represents India under British rule. And Black Panther, the comic character, just is like Tony Stark with more money and slightly smarter and got better gear and
more respect
owns a country. I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen Black Panther yet. He could be like, I am a fair king. Now suck my dick.
The royal penis is clean.
That's right. Now blow it. Blow it. Suck it. he'd be cooler than that. You're like, well, it's not going to suck itself.
By royal decree, it will. No.
Although those bald bitches look crazy. I wouldn't ask them to blow me. The ones that came like
apparently it's
flying around with swords.
Yeah.
They look dangerous. I blow who I want to blow. I will blow him. I don't want a blowjob. I will blow him. Here's my penis. Thank you. You are welcome.
It is inverted itself. You must be frightened.
Welcome to Wakanda. Here is your necklace and blowjob. Actually, they have bracelets. In Wakanda, they have those high-end bracelets that everybody uses like phones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Little beads, different beads, two different things.
Apparently, the Marvel, the film premiere has already happened, and the some Marvel directors and other people have reacted in a positive fashion to the Black
Panther. That's what I saw. That's what I saw. They got fancy pants. Nobody came in a Iron Man suit, but they did come in like full on Wakanda outfits, which involves a lot of toplessness. Welcome to Wakanda. Take off your shirt. Oh my God. Put him in the machine. Fix that. Gross. This is the Marvel Universe. Everyone has like 15% max. And this is Wakanda. So here we have like 5. Put him in the machine. This is disgusting.
Yes.
Black Panther is fantastic, beautiful, soulful, thoughtful, and of the moment. Ryan Coogler knows what he's doing. Long live T'Challa, says Peyton Reed, director of Ant-Man.
Oh, did you see the trailer for that shit?
What, the Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Ant-Man and the Wasp, yeah, the extended trailer dropped today.
Oh, shit, no, I haven't seen it. I've seen some set photos, but I haven't seen the new trailer.
Yeah, it looks like it's kept the theme. Like, that's why Ant-Man worked, just because it didn't take itself too seriously. And they're like, yeah, we can shrink things or make them bigger.
Yeah, and the whole thing about mass, not really consistent, but that's fine.
Well, it looks good. It looks good. Michael Douglas is back. There was no sign in the trailer that I saw of Michelle Pfeiffer. She plays the original Wasp. But don't I know she's know? In it.
Huh. Yeah.
But there were some shots of the Wasp wasping about waspily.
Waspy, waspy, wasp. Wasp,
so,
wasp,
yeah. Wasp. I'll let you see that. It looks fun. Wow. There's one scene involving a giant Pez dispenser.
Of course that is.
Yes. But yeah, there's a lot of fun little moments. Yeah. It's little surprising things I don't want to ruin for you. But yeah, I will good have times. Good times.
So we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp. We've got Black Panther. We've got Infinity War. Jesus, this is going to be great. Is there something in the fall that's coming out from Marvel?
Because
this is all like Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out in the summer, and that's the latest one. They usually have something coming out in November.
Aquaman, I think, is coming out end of the year.
This is not a part of the conversation that I'm having.
I'm trying to think, dude. Venom? No? You're not excited about that shit?
I mean, I'm waiting to see like what it looks like as far as, you know.
It looks like it's going to be Agent Venom.
Yeah, it does.
Which, I mean, all right.
Yeah, great. Fantastic.
Like, it'd be more fun to watch Venom whoop Spider-Man's ass.
Yeah.
But I watch Venom versus Carnage. Are you looking it up? Are you looking to see if there's anything else coming out this year?
I clicked on a thing, but, you know, whatever.
Nothing?
2018. Venom's supposed to be coming out in 2018. Yeah. What about Marvel? Marvel CU. Marvel Cinematic Universe. MCU 2018. I mean, I remember like looking at something. It's like these are all the movies coming out in 2018, and getting like really excited. But now I can't remember if there's another Marvel movie because like 3 sounds like a lot, right?
Yeah,
Ant-Man and Wasp, Avengers: Infinity War, Black Panther. That looks like it's Aquaman. That's it for the okay. Okay. I heard you when you said Aquaman, although. If it weren't for the fact that I don't expect Aquaman to be a good movie, I would be very excited about it. Sorry, I watched Jason Momoa and Jimmy Fallon face off in like some like card game where they like afterwards they got to like throw water in each other's faces, and that's a pretty good clip. I enjoyed that. I think getting drunk with Jason Momoa would be like one of the best experiences of one's life, were it to happen to one.
Let me tell you about Lisa Bonet's 50-year-old bush. What? Yes. All right. I guess I'm hearing about this now. Dude, she puts beads in it. Oh. That's the one thing I remember about about Lisa Bonet is that her armpits have beads in them. Like she had like pit hair and then had beads in it. Which well, seems like a bit her. Much. Yeah, good for her, right? Yeah. No. Awful. Yeah.
No.
Awful. That's not cool, man. No. There's beads in your in your bush. That's what my youngest sister used to call my armpit hair, my bush. I was like, no, that is not. Stop
and
saying
how
that.
Old was she when she was calling saying that?
She's like six.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's understandable. She's
like, look at your bush. I'm like, it is not. That is just my pits. It's like, it's a bush. It's not a bush. Please stop telling people you see my bush. But I can see your bush. Please stop. We're in the food court. And this is the mid-90s, so that counts for something.
The food court. The awesomeness of the food court. Food court. Bush, you said that. Oh, Jessica Jones.
Yes, Jessica Jones will be popping up.
I mean, it's not a movie that's coming out in the fall, but I just also wanted to mention it's coming out in March. So kind of excited about that. Holy shit. February 2nd is this fucking week.
Yeah, dude.
Which means Altered Carbon is coming out this week.
Oh, yes. I re-listened to that.
Oh, what'd you think?
Well, I mean, I'd listened to it before.
Never mind then. Okay. Well, fuck off.
I'd forgotten something. It was long enough ago that I'd forgotten. It was one of like the, I think it was the third book I got on Audible.
Really?
Yeah.
High prior.
Yeah, I got, I think the first one was Ready Player One. The second one was Neuromancer. The third one was Altered Carbon.
You say Necromancer?
Neuromancer.
Neuromancer. Yeah, that's what I meant. The one by the cyberpunk one.
William Gibson, yeah.
Yeah, William Gibson, yeah. Yeah. I think American Gods and Game of Thrones were the first two that I read. I don't remember what the third one was.
Yeah, I think I have all the Game of Thrones books on Audible. I have not listened to them. I listened to like most of the first one, and I was just like, I don't even. What is? Oh, hey, look. Listen to this other book.
Yes.
I watched Deadpool today. I had a slow moment at work for the first time in probably 6 months. And I was like kind of fiddling around looking at my email, and I had something from Amazon about Prime. I was like, oh, hey, I got it. And so I just started watching Deadpool on my computer. And that got me psyched about Deadpool 2. That'll be coming out this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's got more.
One of the better trailers for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. What else? What are the summer movies coming out? Like, there's Jurassic World 2, but I haven't seen Jurassic World 1. And so
I haven't seen Jurassic World 1?
No, I didn't give a shit.
Oh.
Everybody's like, it's like Jurassic Park. I'm like, I saw Jurassic Park. It's got dinosaurs? Yeah, I'm good. And I'm sure I would watch it and be like, yeah, this is fun time. Enjoy myself. Yes, hooray. Yeah.
It's like a whole genre of movies where man gets scientifically ambitious and then gets hoisted by his own petard.
I'm down for that. But I need a little variety. Like,
which is almost every movie on the Sci-Fi Channel.
So many petards being hoisted. Yeah. Being hoisted by petards.
Yes. They should have been in a Star Trek movie where they get hoisted by Captain Petard.
Yeah. Been watching the Hatsubasho 2018 tournament. That's the January sumo tournament out of Tokyo. Yeah. Like we watched, you know, Japanese game shows, and YouTube suggested one night a couple weeks back, like, hey, sumo. And I was like, why the fuck not? And so we watched the first match. Cause we'd watched a little bit of it in December. Or November, like whenever the last tournament was, we got kind of into it. But just like, yeah, you know, this is neat. So this one we watched from the beginning, and like we picked favorites. So by the end of it, we were like, ah, like the guy Carol hated won. He's this Georgian motherfucker named Tochin Ocean. He's a huge white dude with like all as muscles.
Like the former Soviet Republic or the state?
No, former Soviet Republic.
Okay.
He's a huge motherfucker. Like he's so big and muscly.
How big is he?
The way he's like 6'4".
Okay.
Like he's big. And like easily 300 to 400 pounds. Like I don't know. I haven't weighed him. But you can look up his weight. That's part of his stats. I don't know. It's in kilograms. Anyway, so like the way he wins is he would like get up against a guy and like push him toward the edge. And as soon as he could get a hand on his Mirawashi, which is their big diaper, as soon as he could get a hand on it, he just lift him up. He just pick him up like a refrigerator and walk him out. He only lost one match out of 15.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He was whooping asses. But it wasn't my favorite. My favorite was this big old fat, I think he was Mongolian, because a lot of the guys are Mongolian. Like there was one white dude, it's the Georgian. There was a Brazilian guy who was the fattest motherfucker there. He was fucking huge and hairy and gross. And he did pretty good. His name was Kaisei. The names are given to him by their trainers.
Right.
So his name really isn't Kaisei. It's probably Miguel or something. Brazilian.
Something, yeah.
Tochin Ocean is probably like Igor or something. I don't know. But this guy was this big, fat fucking dude. I'm pretty sure he's Mongolian. And his, like, he was just brutal. Like his whole plan was like, I'm going to rush the other guy as hard as I can. I'm going to put my fist in his throat. And if I can get him in an arm lock, I'm going to throw him out of the ring. And it's not insignificant. It's like, you got to step up onto this big clay and dirt, you know, ring with no ropes around it.
Yeah. Basically a big platform.
Yeah. And like,
not that big though.
Yeah. Like they try and not to let the other guy fall out. Like if you get him out, though, you know, they always like try and grab the other guy's hand and, you know, pull him back in or whatever. There's a lot of sportsmanship involved. This guy didn't give a shit. This guy would get him to the edge and throw them at some poor little businessman in the front row. Just be like, just yanking him out. Enough that Carol and I were a couple times like, fuck, that's fucking brutal. Stop that. No. There was one point on like day 9 where there were 2 or 3 guys that just gotten like blown right out the ring, like brutal, like hits to the face and like, you know, just violent. Because a lot of guys are trying to get their kachikoshi. And kachikoshi is where you've won more matches than you're going to lose. So you get 8 wins.
Yeah.
And once you're there, that means that you either stay at your level or you'll move up a level.
Right.
If you get a makikoshi, which is where you lose more than you win, then you go down a level. Yeah. So everybody's trying to get that. They're getting to that point where they're all trying to get to that 8. And they're getting brutal. And like the 3rd or 4th match, this dude just got, I mean, basically fed to the front row. And he was like upside down and like you could hear bones breaking and they came crawling out and limping up back up onto the stage. And after that, everybody was really congenial. Like I have a feeling he went to the back and the judge was like, hey, somebody's going to get hurt. You guys, you got to chill out there. Okay.
Everyone calm the fuck down.
That's what it seemed like. And they were all like, okay, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Another so shooter sorry. For the princess. Sorry. Sorry, I had an Aladdin moment. It's fine.
Yeah, dude. There's big dudes. And they hit like face first into each other. Hard enough that like, they're moving. It's a lot of mass. These guys are like averaging 400 pounds. And they fly each other really, really hard and just stop.
So there's got to be some intense physics happening here.
I can't imagine. But the photographs have to be incredible. Because some of them, like you see where the photographers are, and like a couple of times where they get the guys where they actually get them in an arm lock and like throw them over. And you have like one guy tossing the other dude. And then from the side, you see they show all the matches in slow motion as soon as it wraps.
Right.
So you see the match in real time and they show it again in slow motion because they're really short.
Yeah.
And you just see the guy completely horizontal, a foot and a half off the ground. And you're like, that is going to make a lot of noise when it hits. But Yeah, dude, got into it. I am a fan. Let's go around. And like, I mean, some of they're all fat fucks, but some of them have so much muscle under their fat that like you can see it.
Right.
It's a big fat dude, but like they go in the thing where they slam into each other right at the beginning, and you see like the muscles in their thighs like bulging out. That dude Tochinoshi, the big Georgian guy, you could see his six pack under his gut. Ooh. Like he's got a gut, and he'd like come in and like you'd see him as he like gonna stretch out. You could see his six pack under a protuberance of gut fat. He's like, fuck's sake, I can't imagine. When you're done with that, you got to like start a moving company or something. A lot of them start restaurants.
This is what I imagine, like, you know, when they talk about the kingpin in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Like how he's like, you know, he's like, he's really big and fat, but like, he's like, but it's actually like hiding all this muscle.
Easily a thing.
Yeah.
Like they watching these dudes, that could totally be a reality. Cause there were these big fat fucks and like, you'd see them like slam into each other and you just see these muscles rippling out and you're like, I didn't know you could flex fat like that.
Yeah.
And they eat like, I guess, what's this stuff called? Chawandashi or something like that. Whatever their food is, it's just a high calorie like soup. Like if you're going to make gumbo and just throw eggs in it.
Ooh.
eggs and pasta and like imagine like souped up ramen, but with a lot more meat and stuff. So they eat that and then they drink, you know, have a couple beers with lunch and then they take a 2-hour nap so that you gain weight.
It's a hell of a way to go.
Yeah, man. But I mean, it's brutal. Like once you join up with a stable, like one of the training grounds, you live there and you work your ass off. But there's some fun. Like if you just go on YouTube and you search sumo, there was a little white dude that he made it up enough to where I saw a video of him wrestling and it looked like an actual tournament. This guy probably weighed 190 pounds.
Okay.
Maybe 5'8".
Yeah.
And in sumo, there are no weight classes.
Yeah. Like, it's everybody against everybody.
Exactly. And that may not seem fair until you see one of these little dudes, and by little, I mean he's only 300 pounds, taking on a 450-pound guy and able to like sidestep him and give him a push with the back of his head face first into the dirt. And you're like, well, shit, I guess, all right. Way to go, man. This guy didn't do that. He went up against a big motherfucker, and the big motherfucker didn't move. Like what there happens is at the beginning, they both crouch down, and one of them puts their hands on the ground, and the other one, as soon as he touches the ground, it's on. Like it's free to go. So the little dude puts his hands down, and they slam into each other, except most of the slamming happened in the other direction, and the dude just got swept right out. I can't remember his name, but you can find it. Just YouTube that business and enjoy a little bit of a chuckle.
Fascinating.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, so we totally got into fucking sumo. It's a weird, wacky sport.
What are you watching on?
YouTube.
Oh, just yours watch YouTube's? Okay.
Mm-hmm. You get the highlight. Like once you watch the first one during the tournament, it would automatically upload to your feed as soon as the updates happened.
Oh, okay.
So we got to watching it every night about 10 o'clock. And it dropped. Apparently, it dropped right after the tournaments happened in Japan because we get it like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, that's so. Japan's like 14 hours ahead, so that's like 5 o'clock in the. No, what?
I don't know. I just know when we went to watch it at 10 o'clock, it said updated 7 hours ago.
Okay, so. Okay. Fascinating.
But yeah. Sumo, like really getting into it. Like it got to where we were like cheering on. There was like a small town or a local hero dude named Endo. And like he beat one of the really high ranking guys and people started throwing shit. Like they lost their fucking minds. They all have like napkins or something, like cloth napkins. And as soon as he won, like, they all
lied about it.
They started like showering him with these things.
He was like, yeah, they were happy he won, or they were like, you know,
they were happy. Oh, they were very happy.
I don't know if people were like, we bet on him. I can't believe you beat him. You know,
no, they had a bunch of groupies.
Cool.
But the chicks were like, ooh. He was like, I could see that. If he had like 150 pounds less on him, that could be kind of cute. Like, all right. Way to go. Hi. So, yeah, that was last week. So, is Black Panther this weekend?
No, it's not till right after Mardi Gras.
Hmm.
So, it's like the 16th of February.
For some reason, I thought it was this weekend.
You can think that all you want. But no, I mean, Altered Carbon's this weekend. I think there was something else that might be this weekend, but not Black Panther. Sorry, I got my computer in front of me, and I just glanced at an email that my mom had sent. I don't know if you heard a story about a parish worker who was like on one of those cherry pickers, and you know, in the bucket at the top of they have a crane to touch the bucket, and the guy sits in the bucket and like either like cuts limbs or fixes cables or whatever. Cherries.
Yeah.
Yeah, picks cherries. There was a story about someone who like fell 50 feet and out of one of those, and because of the mechanisms failed on it. So and he like landed on top of the truck. But he had a safety harness on, so he didn't fall at like top speed. That was actually my uncle. That was my mom's brother. So
I haven't seen it. I'll look for it now.
Yeah, I mean, I think all it says is like parish worker falls and is okay. But I mean, he like, you know, broke a couple of ribs and like bruised a few other things and like got knocked in the head pretty good. But he's going to be fine eventually. But it was when my mom called, she said, your Uncle Jimmy is in the hospital. And I was like, what? And so like Jane was in the same room, but she was like on a business phone call. So I like was getting up to like take the phone, you know, to like continue the phone call in another room. But like I stopped when my mom said, yeah, he fell out of a bucket. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Like a water bucket?
Yeah, exactly. I was like so confused. I was like, he fell out of a bucket. But then she explained, like, because I didn't realize the last time I talked to him, he was doing a different job. So, but apparently, you know, he's doing this. But he's going to be okay. He has to do some physical therapy, but he's going to be all right.
Well, that's good. At least you get a story out of it.
Yeah.
So I was in the news.
Fill out of a bucket. They've got a cave troll. Yeah, but yeah, he's fine. It's just interesting when someone calls and says when your loved one says fallen out of a bucket and they're in the hospital. It's just, you know, something you don't usually hear every day.
I need to go out and have drinks with friends and tell them this.
Fill out of a bucket.
Hey guys, who's got a relative that fell out of a bucket? Is that the next question? What is that?
Yeah.
No, me! My uncle fell out of a bucket. He's fine. So we can laugh at him. It was on the news. It's great, James. Here, have a beer. Yay!
Yay!
I know someone famous. All right, dude. I'm going to roll. I got to go feed the wife.
Oh, feed the wife and clean the eyeballs.
I'm going to clean more eyeballs. Yeah.
More eyeballs.
Basil's eyeball it's gross. It gets a little pussy funk, and I got to put drops in it. And that's the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, a little pussy funk.
Oh, dude, it's gross.
Yeah, I imagine it would be.
And he's loving it, of course. He absolutely loves it when I clean his eye. He doesn't try to bite me at all.
Yeah,
he does bite me. He bites the shit out of the handkerchief. He's like, no. I'm like, dude, this is going to happen. I have to clean that boogers out of your eye.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that shit. And I will see you next week. And you have been dorked.
You have been dorked. I'm James Brown.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And you're a dork. No, you have to Wakanda laugh.
The uncola.
It's a cola nut. The uncola nut.
Uncola.
unquote. That's a lime, man.
You put the lime in the cola nut.
Ugh. I watched all those commercials. I was like, I remember those commercials were awesome. And I watched them. I was like, nope. Those are stupid.
Which ones? The
cola nut.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was thinking about the 7-Up one when the guy from...
That's what I'm talking about. Oh. It's the 7-Up. He's like, this is a cola nut. This is where cola comes from. But 7-Up is the un-cola.
It's the un-cola. Un-cola.
This is an un-cola nut. He holds up a lime. You're like, well, I thought it was a lemon-lime soda. But I guess just lime then for the commercial. But it's this.
Goddamn limeys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, dude. I'll see you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.